Have you missed out on any interesting discussions from Adventist World Radio SID Media? Simply go to www.sidmedia.org to listen to all podcasts and previous shows. Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media, from broadcast to baptism.
Indeed, we are from a broadcast to baptism. We're going to try it again. They're still trying to fix that line for us. Hopefully it will work. But let me know what you think about misogyny. What is misogyny? Do you think it's a biblical thing? Hi, Pastor. Hopefully it will hold.
Hey, sorry about that.
No, it's okay. It happens, my pastor. It happens. So, let's just continue there. I'm praying. I'm secretly praying that the network does hold for us. So I was asking you that, we do understand that misogyny is the hatred or prejudice against women. But according to your understanding or a further definition of it, what is misogyny?
Misogyny can be described in various ways according to cultures. But looking at it from a biblical perspective, it's ascribing a particular thought that you have without understanding fully who or what that person is going through, and then you decide to judge them, to just conclude something, to assume something, basically on something that you have no evidence or concise knowledge about. And so misogyny is basically just a prejudice, especially towards the feminine folk.
Mm-hmm. Is it biblical, Pastor? Do we have someone in the Bible who's exhibit such traits? Or the Bible, maybe it does give allowance to men to do that. Do we have something like that in the Bible?
Definitely, it's there. We've seen Simon, the leper who was healed by Jesus. The moment he saw the woman who is actually thought of as Mary Magdalene, who, when she comes into the room when there was a feast where Christ is invited, and she falls down to the feet of Jesus and she's wiping his feet with her tears and with the hair, and she's anointing his feet. We see he then quickly rushes and say, if this one was really a prophet, you would definitely have known that this one is a sinner. So prejudice is actually basically there. Misogyny is there in the Bible. On several occasions you find that even when Christ was talking to the woman at the well, and then the disciples arrived and they were wondering why is Jesus talking to this woman. And so in the culture of the Hebrews, in that the Greco-Roman time, you find that there were a lot of misogyny that was going on. It was normal for a woman to be looked down upon. And so in that context, we get to understand that misogyny in the Bible is there. That is why I get to understand when we read in the Galatians where actually God says that there is neither male nor female, neither Greek nor Jew. It's basically he was dealing with breaking barriers of misogyny, cultural issues. So I get to understand that misogyny is directly connected to culture. And in the culture, we get to find that misogyny was there. And so that's why Christ, when he came, he didn't care whether this one is female or male. He would definitely break all the barriers. So misogyny was definitely there in the Bible.
So it was, so for us, so we understand that it was there in the Bible because culturally the people were wired to have such a trait, but God in fact spoke about it. That's what you're saying, right? Spoke against
true.
It in fact spoke against misogyny.
That's definitely true. You find from Genesis going down to Revelation, you find all kinds of inscriptions that would point to misogyny. And that's why we get to see that when Christ came, he was not only coming to seek and save the lost, but he was also breaking the cultural barriers that were there, and misogyny was part of it.
So if we are saying Mpundiswami, not because if we do want to mention all the cultures, we're not going to finish because there are a lot, but looking at, so does that mean that we should actually adopt the culture in the Bible? We should adopt like Christ's culture, if I could do the Jesus culture, instead of the other cultures that we have? Because the cultures that we have, they sometimes come with things like misogyny, which are not okay.
I love the way you've brought it out on the aspect of the Christ culture. Mm-hmm. Christianity, most of the times we get to misplace Christianity by making it or terming it as a culture. Christianity isn't a culture, but it is being Christ-like. Now, our cultures most of the times have a component of misogyny. Like here in Zambia, mm-hmm. you get to find that even when it comes to the education sector, you find the passing mark of male is high, mm-hmm. and the passing mark for female is low.
Mm-hmm.
That in itself is misogyny, to say that a female or a girl child cannot be as bright as a boy child. In that, you've already concluded. We understand that there are feminine challenges that are there in the home, but that in itself, in our cultures, there are a number of prejudices that are directed towards the female flock. Now, what Christianity does, it dilutes and brings the Christ-like approach of balancing up things that don't seem to be normal, things that don't seem to be okay, are diluted. And I would definitely take up your concept of saying that the Christ-like culture, yes, which is the culture that has been influenced by the Bible, that has been influenced by God and spirituality in itself.
Mm-hmm. Besides culture, Mpundiswami, is there another reason or another something that we can link up to why men actually have this quality? And when it's not all men, disclaimer, we understand it's not all men, but besides culture, is this anything else that actually makes them to have that quality?
There are a lot of reasons that can be, others are socio-economical reasons. Actually, others even misinterpret the Bible.
Mm.
You find that others will quote the Bible and say that, no, the man is the head of the house.
Yeah.
And then the is definitely not considered in any way. And so even in scripture, there's a lot of misinterpretation,
okay.
And that influences the misogyny. So you find that others, when it comes socially, they believe all kinds of theories. They think that a male is more superior. They believe that a male is built in a way that he is can coexist probably even on his own. They can do and all kinds of thoughts. And I would actually go even a step further to believe that the devil might feed us with concepts that will help us to move from the original plan of God.
Okay.
Because when God had created man, he created man, male and female.
Yeah.
So when he was creating a human being and then made a distinction to say that as a human being, there'll be male and there'll be female, but gave them responsibilities, roles in which they are going to play. But he did not ascribe to say that this one is superior, this one is less superior. Even though when he's mentioning to say that husbands, you are the head of the house as Christ is the head of the church, he is basically just pointing out the roles that are going to be played in the home and in the society. But it doesn't mean that one is more superior than the other. So there are quite a number of reasons why there is misogyny even in our culture today.
Is there a way, Mpundiswami, how we can deal away with misogyny? Is it something that is correctable, or just because culture has dictated and now it's in the men's blood, some of them, it's a we cannot in fact correct it, or there is a way in which you can correct it?
In this particular instance, the basic way of correcting it is the mindset,
mm-hmm.
The transformation of the mind. If one decides to say that a woman is just a tool, there are people who value a woman as just a possession.
Yeah,
it's just asset. The same way you have a cow, a chair, a vehicle, whatever, even a woman is considered that way. Worse off us as Africans who pay lovola. People feel as if you are buying a woman. And worse off even the parents. Other parents, that's why you find the bride price is so it's shocking. But you see, the point is that others feel as if they are selling off their child. That is why they go as high as you can mention all kinds of figures. But what I'm trying to bring across is that once we deal with the mindset, then we can change the misogyny. Because regardless of the misogyny being there, if one's mindset is wired in Christ-like nature, in the Christ-like culture, then there won't be any challenges when it comes to misogyny. Even in the church today, if at all we follow the right principle from, we look at the blueprint of creation, if we understand the home, if we understand the role of a man and the role of a woman, then can we move and can we be changed into removing and extinguishing misogyny?
Someone might argue, Mfundi Swamini, that there's nothing wrong with misogyny. Some people may say that there's nothing wrong. I mean, women are, you know, they quote that scripture that women are the weaker vessel. They're black. You know, they're like, no, there's nothing wrong there. You know, women are the weaker vessel. In fact, even Apostle Paul himself said, good to women, for example, must not speak in the church. They must sit down. You know, the man, as you quoted, the man is the head of the family. So some may say it's okay. Is it really okay? How then do we address that?
I'll start by saying, in my own opinion, and in my reading of scripture, and in understanding the original audience of the scripture, I will say it's not okay. Actually, if we look at it with reality before we come back to scripture, the ones who are actually weaker are male.
Yeah.
If we were to look at who is the weaker vessel, it is male.
Okay.
Because even when we look at, if we are to examine exegetically the four at creation, you get to see that the one who was more weaker was the male who received it from the female. When you read throughout scripture, all the men of God from Abraham, from Isaac, Jacob, going down, you find that the men of God, that even God called the men after my own heart, were weak vessels. They were weaker. But one thing that I love is that regardless of weakness, God can still see the value inside somebody. So when we get to the scripture itself now, and we get to interpret scriptures like in Corinthians and in Timothy, where Paul is saying that let the woman keep quiet, we're not really into that. But basically, if we are to understand what is being talked about there, it is not an absolute silence, because basically, even now, if we are to look at the silence, if we are to say that it was absolute silence, that no one is supposed to say anything, then the church by now would have been dead, because women do ask questions, women do sing, women do chorister, women do present. That was the silence that Paul, if we are saying it was absolute silence, that was the one that we were talking about. But to understand that scripture, we need to understand it from the ancient Near Eastern culture. Because at that particular time, you find that there was something that was happening. There was confusion. There was disunity that was in the church. And because of that disunity that was happening there, it was being caused by women. And so that's why Paul said to the Corinthian church, because remember, the book of Timothy and the book of Corinthians were written to the same church. You will not find that inscription anywhere else in the Bible, apart from in those books, because both of them, Timothy was pastoring the Corinthian church, and the book of Corinthians was ascribed to the Corinthian church, meaning there was something happening in Corinthians. You will not find it in Colossians. You not find it in Ephesians, but you find it in the Corinthian church, meaning it was a location and a particular problem. So when he was saying women to sit and keep quiet, he was dealing with a problem in the Corinthian church. And so if one may ask a question, because that instruction is saying that if you want to ask a question, go and ask your husband. Now, how about someone who is not married? How about someone who is divorced? How about someone who is a widow. How then do they worship their God without asking a question, without saying something? So it is basically an issue of silence in that particular church and not ultimate silence in the entire Church of God. So basically, it's just misconception and misinterpretation of the Bible. So when the Bible is saying there is neither Jew nor Greek, nor female, nor male, he's basically striking a balance to say that we all have roles. Everyone should know what to play. Everyone should know what to do. But no one is greater than the other. That is why we should learn from the Trinity. They all have roles, God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They are all the one God, but with different responsibilities and roles. And when we understand that concept, then we can understand that misogyny is not supposed to be in the Church of God.
I have a lot of questions for you right now, but before I get there, so there is a comment that came through on our WhatsApp line from Millicent. She's saying there, aren't the gender roles actually the cause of misogynistic English, misogyny behavior? Yeah, in the first place. That's why the secular world is debunking patriarchal authority through gender narratives, which is then fought by a broad range of interest group, activists, philosophies, academia, etc. So point is this gender role saying that girls need to wash dishes whilst the boys, you know, they do the garden or they don't do anything and stuff like that. Is it not, fanning the flames there in terms of this misogynic, behavior?
It's quite interesting. And I love the concept in which she has brought it out. It is true. Initially, the gender roles were supposed to be balanced aspect of life that helps, that when someone is one is pushing, the other one is pulling. When the other one is pushing, the other one is pulling. It is a balance. It doesn't mean that if I as a guy or as a man I do the dishes, then I have broken the law of nature or I've broken the law of God. No, that isn't true. Actually, if we are to follow strictly the principle in Genesis, the principle of marriage, where God says that I have provided you a helper. You see, it means that if I am sweeping the house, then my helper, who is female, will be lifting up the chair and pushing opening up the rug, the carpet, so that I can sweep under there, the carpet. Because I am the one who is supposed to be doing the task, and she is a helper. So when the woman was brought, she was brought as a companion. It is issue of complementing each other. It is not an issue of a slave. When we actually read, I was going through the study for this week. Paul in the book of Ephesians, he is talking about slaves. So the concept of us enslaving the female flock because of gender roles isn't right.
Yeah.
You see, gender roles are basically aspects that will bring order and balance in our cultural system and in our Christian homes. But then it does not restrict us. Said, I grew up in a family of four, where we only have one female and we are all three men. When we were growing up, we all did dishes, we all swept the house, we all washed clothes, we all did everything.
Okay.
Why? Because as I am growing up, I will not consider a woman as a tool, a vessel of doing my dirty work. No. But I will value her input, even as she does the dishes. It is not, I may not say it as an obligation, but it is a role that she can play and I can also play. There are also, which we are not really talking into, then there are also the sexuality obligations or the sexuality gender roles. Those were not you or enter into those. But what we're basically talking about right now is that the gender roles, yes, have brought about the confusion because we have misunderstood the gender roles.
Yeah.
Because there's a concept in which we have extremed it. We have gone into the extremes and misinterpreted what the purpose of them are. So basically, I would agree, yes, the gender roles have gone into the extremes, which is not supposed to be the case.
So as we wrap up, Mundiswami, I would love us to do an in-depth study on this, but we'll make arrangements there. Earlier on, you said that men are the weaker vessel. Njani, how? Like, I'm still stuck there. How are men the weaker vessel? The Bible has said we are the weaker vessel, but you know, and even the people that you have mentioned, I think there is something there that, you know, you were going to, but if you can explain to us, like, briefly, why is it that men are the weaker vessel, and how did the roles get swapped?
You see, the concept that I was bringing out when I was mentioning that the men are the weaker vessels is that as men, we are more prone to temptation in terms of sexuality.
Okay.
But yes, when you go throughout scripture, you will get to find that most of the times when a great man has fallen, it is in those lines.
Mm.
So when you see Adam was basically tempted and fell because of his wife.
Mm.
So he was weaker in that line. And when we read throughout scripture, majority of we understand that the Bible is written in a patrilineal manner, where it's more of male and less of female. But you get to find that majority of where male are, there was always a problem.
Mm.
And you get to see that strong men of God would fall massively when it came to the issues of women and when it comes to the issues of spirituality.
Mm.
Even when you look at the way Israel kept on falling up and down, it was because of the misfits that were happening in the male flock. But regardless of that, the drawing across the board, weakness is in everyone.
Okay.
But the concept probably when we're talking about weakness in this concept, we are not only talking about the physical weakness that the men are weaker than women. No, that it is vice versa.
Mm.
The women are yes weaker, but when we're talking in this concept where we're talking about the issues of spirituality. I was doing a statistics in my churches, and I got to discover that I have more female than male in the church. And when you look at the ones who are more faithful, the women are more faithful compared to the male. Maybe because demographically women are more in the country, but regardless of that, when you look at the spirituality of male, it is quite less. Compared to the female. So basically, I was talking about that in that concept.
Hey, okay, Mfundiswami, thank you.
Discussion on that one, eh?
Yes, please. Yes, because I was like, I don't get it. Scripture says otherwise, but it's fine. Since you have, you know, briefly explained it, we do understand. But we do say thank you so much, Mfundiswami, for this one today. And hopefully we'll get to, you know, to explore this one more in the future. But for today, thank you so much, my pastor.
Welcome.
Amen.
Thank you. Blessing. You are tuned into Mid Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.